And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once were. Following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in the kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Ephesians 2. Man, it just provides. It's so rich, isn't it? The language that's used, the evocative kind of descriptive language is so rich. And just reading through, and I guess you've done Ephesians 1, which is amazing as well, and just it provides us with such a blessing if we read it. And if we read it and reread it and start to swim in it, it provides such a bedrock of truth for us in our daily lives and in our walk as Christians. And really, I suppose it's broken into a couple of different sections. And the first three verses, I'm going to reread, but the first three verses, they're just such a picture of where we've come from as Christians, and the base human nature, the base human nature, which is outside of God. Just reread it. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. It provides an observation of human condition, doesn't it? And it provides an insight into actually what it is that humans attain to, or what they're worshipping, what they're heading towards. In which you once walked, following this course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, all the way back from Adam. This is going back to Adam, and Adam's choice of who he was going to follow, which way he was going to go. And it's been the same base human condition ever since then. where humans have not wanted to look to God for their provision, not wanted to look to God for their grounding, but they've wanted to look to their own wills, their own power, their own strengths. And it goes right back to the beginning. It's been human nature ever since Adam to want to follow something other than what God has put in place, to want to try to follow in their own strength and in their own power whatever God did, the rebellion that mankind has shown God, essentially. Following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. And it's basically saying that mankind, as we know it, outside of Christ, is dead. It's dead in the way that it's following. It's dead in the mankind is dead in the road that it's taken. It kind of came to my mind, the walking dead. We're outside of Christ, before we meet Christ, before we meet Jesus, we're the walking dead. People are the walking dead. There's no life, there's no real life that's there. And yes, there might be breathing, there might be walking and talking and working and playing, but actually, spiritually, before we meet Christ, we're walking dead. That's what it's saying. Zombies, following the prince of the power of the air. And we need to, this makes us more and more aware that actually there's the physical, but then there is another thing, there is another element, another realm that controls. There is another realm that controls. The spirit, the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh. We all were there, Paul says to the Ephesians, we all were there. He's not just saying that some people were and some weren't, but we all were. And I think he's referring to the Jewish and the Gentile nations as well. We all were in this place of rebellion and dead to God. Once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind. Carrying out the desires of the body and the mind. Not even thinking about what pleases God or what if we should do things. Just carrying out passions in the body and the mind. By nature, children of wrath, just like the rest of mankind. And Ephesians 6 verse 12 says, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, and against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. He references this again later on in Ephesians and says, actually, we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. That's not our main enemy. That's not our main problem. Our problem is the ruler of the prince of the air, of darkness, of things that we don't see, of the unseen realm. These invisible forces, we're not able to help ourselves. We can't help ourselves. And if we insist on just being conditioned and controlled by the things that we can see, then these things will rule us. They'll rule us without us even knowing, and we'll be walking dead and we'll be zombies, controlled by something else, something outside of us, which isn't good. It's not God who's doing this controlling. But it's not special. We're all in that situation before we meet Christ, before we experience salvation. We're all in that situation. We're all in that place. It's nothing different. These invisible forces, we cannot help ourselves. We cannot help ourselves. And that's what comes through really clearly, is we can't help ourselves. We're unable to. And then verse 4 comes along. In verse 4, we've read the nature, the base nature of mankind, and kind of the intrinsic kind of condition of humanness. By nature, children of wrath, just like the rest of mankind. And then it says in verse 4, but God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us. But God. There's a full stop and then a new sentence, and there's a new hope that comes into, that springs into place with those words, but God. And despite ourselves, in spite of our own prideful nature, and in spite of our kind of own base humanness, but God. Overarching, overriding all of that stuff, but God came into view. Even when we were dead in our sins, he made a way. So we were walking dead. We were not even considering God, considering what he had for us, not considering the way that he had for us. But God, even before we were aware of him, he was working, he was planning. Even from the beginning of time itself, from before, at the beginning of all eternity, he had this plan in his mind and his heart for humankind. Even when Adam rejected God and decided to go his own way, Adam and Eve in the garden, even before that, he knew that he would have to send his son. He knew that he would have to do that. And not only send his son, but send his son to become nothing for us. To go from being in glory, the King of heaven, to coming down to this squalid earth. To become nothing, to become sin for us. This is all in God's plan from before the beginning of time. And it's not even as simple as that. This is amazingly complex, but it's amazingly beautiful and simple at the same time. Not only did Jesus, he sent his son to come and die for us, to set us free from this kind of this blindness that we had to him, this walking dead nature, to set us free, but he also did it knowing that in Christ, we would then be seated with Christ in the heavenlies, next to God, and sharing the inheritance that Christ deserves. And that's a truly remarkable, truly amazing, groundbreaking thing about the gospel. Is that it's really simple, but it's immensely complex. It's immensely complex. It's so simple that even a child can understand it and accept it. But it's so rich and complex and deep that so often in modern human life we're surrounded with so much, we've got so much on, and it just gets dumbed down and gets narrowed, and suddenly we've just got this narrow view of the gospel. We come and we repent and we're saved, and oh, that's it. We're heaven bound. But there's so much more there, so much more that's on offer. This inheritance that Jesus has as the Son of God, that's ours as well. That's ours as well. And in the day when this was written, there's an ancient Greek philosophy that was swinging around at this time, and amazingly, this Greek philosophy is now still floating around us in society today. Anyone care to guess what that philosophy is? Anyone care to guess what that philosophy is? So the philosophy that was around at the day and is still prevalent today is God helps those who help themselves. God helps those who help themselves. And that's, you know, whether we believe it or not, whether we accept it, actually that's kind of infiltrated everything that we know of in society. God helps those who help themselves. And actually what this is saying is that's not true. That's not true. God helps those who cannot help themselves. God helps those who are dead, who have nothing to offer. That's who God helps. Not those who help themselves. And I think it's amazing how that philosophy has continued through today. It was around here in this right when this was written, and is now still floating around. God helps those who help themselves. You know, you've got to do what you can. You've got to kind of, yes, there's a sense in which we have to be practical, but actually we can do nothing without God. We can do nothing outside of God. And we cannot save ourselves. We cannot save ourselves. We cannot exit that dead, walking dead nature that we're in. We cannot do it on our own terms, in our own energies. God came for the hopeless and the helpless. And God helps those who cannot help themselves. In fact, he longs for us to realize that we cannot help ourselves. He longs for us to realize that. And to throw ourselves on him in humility. Say, God, I can't do this. Only you can help me. I'm at the end of myself. At the end of my tether. Only you can help me. I've got nowhere else to go. And that's the gospel. That's the gospel. And in verse 5, we see, even when you were dead in your trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. And it's by grace you have been saved. It's by grace you have been saved. And only in his death, only in Christ's death, do we find that we have life. And in Ephesians 1, going back to inheritance we have, the riches that we have in Christ. In Ephesians 1:11 it says, In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. We have obtained an inheritance in Christ, which the enemy desperately doesn't want us to hear about and desperately wants us to be in this kind of zombie nature forever. Because if we found out that this inheritance that we have in Christ, the freedom and the life that we have in Christ, I'm not talking about, material wealth, I'm not talking about material goods, but the riches and the depth of riches that we have in our spirits when we turn to God through Christ. That's what the enemy doesn't want us to find out about and wants to keep us in this kind of narrow view of things. But actually, there's so much peace and rest, satisfaction in God. No matter what comes at us from outside, no matter what's thrown at us, we have a anchor that's steadfast and sure in Christ and in God. We have an anchor that's steadfast and sure. And that's what the enemy doesn't want us to find out about and does his best to make us forget. But actually in Christ, in God, we have all of these things and so much more. And it's all by faith. It's all by faith. Like I said, we cannot see these things. They're unseen. And faith is an assurance of the things that we cannot see. For this reason, because I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your love towards the saints, your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so in verses 8 and 9 of chapter 2, we're told again, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. This isn't your own doing. You cannot do this. You were dead in your sin. You were a zombie. You're walking dead. It's not by your own doing. It's a gift of God. It's not a result of works, so that no one may boast. No man can boast that he has worked enough or done enough to attain or approach God. It's all by grace. All by grace. It's not our own doing and never a result of our own good intentions or our efforts, but it's all freely available to all men and all women. And we see in verse 10 that we're his workmanship. It gives us an idea that actually we're his workmanship. For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works. It's not good works that get us to this place, but it's for good works that this is done in us, which God prepared beforehand. And in Romans we're told, for I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers or height or depth, nor anything else in all creation is able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is all because of God's great love for us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. He gave his only son. He so loved the world. He so loved us that he gave his only son. And it's only in our Saviour's death and resurrection that we gain this life, this full life. But until we die to ourselves, until we die to ourselves and we trust in this Saviour, we can never know the fullness of this life. And we can become resurrected with him in Christ into new life in the heavenly places. So we see the pattern of death, resurrection and life, both for Christ and also for us. We have to die to ourselves before we can enjoy that new life in Christ. By God's grace, we are no longer paupers, but princes and princesses. As children of God, we have ready access to his throne. And this is the truly remarkable thing. The truly remarkable thing. That we all have access to the throne room of heaven. Isn't that incredible? I'm just staggered when I think about it. And it's not because of anything that I've done. It's not because of anything that I can have achieved. But it's all because of Christ. It's all because of Jesus. He paid the penalty. He paid the debt. And he died the death. And he went the extra mile for me and you. This is the gospel message. This is life and life to the full. We don't get saved by our own efforts, but it's through the amazing grace of God himself for his own glory. Because he knows that this is what we were designed for. This is what we were originally intended for. And there's a song which has just been going through my mind over this last week or so, and it's a song which is in the book, I think. But the chorus says, only by grace can we enter. Only by grace can we stand. It's not by our human endeavour, but by the blood of the Lamb. Into your presence you call us. You call us to come. Into your presence you draw us. And now by your grace we come. Now by your grace we come. It's only by grace that we can enter. It's only by that thing that was offered that's free. But it does cost. It costs us to step outside of ourselves, step outside of our own little boxes and accept what Christ has done and throw ourselves on him for his glory. Father, thank you. Thank you for the amazing truth. The amazing truth of this. Thank you for the immense riches, the immeasurable riches that you have offered. In your Son, to us, any one of us. We bless you, Lord. We thank you. We thank you that it's by grace, and grace alone, that we can come. So, Lord, would you knit this deep in our hearts? Would you sink us deep into the fullness of these things? And as we come and as we enter into it, Lord, would you spread it, Lord, throughout our communities, this message, this gospel message, the full gospel message of truth. This free gift that you have offered.